There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc. And it starts now.
Welcome on, Dr. Pat. Fasten your seatbelts. I'm just saying right now, just go ahead, get them on, put them on there, fasten them seatbelts. And then at some point in the show, you're going to say, forget about it. Forget about the seatbelts. We have a great show, Mark, right?
Oh, yes, we do. We do.
Look, I am thrilled, one, about today's topic, because, you know, if you try to hide from fear and anxiety, somehow it knows you hiding. It knows it. It's like, oh, she's hiding and I see her. How do I handle the fear that comes with age and the anxiety it brings? How do I do that? Mark, we have a very, very special featured guest to help us answer that question, don't we?
We do. You know, because you know, we've been talking a lot in the past, well, basically since the inception of the show, but particularly in the last month about fear. You know, and you said fear knows. I mean, fear can smell fear. You know, we say animals can smell fear. Fear can smell fear. And, you know, we're talking also tonight about coping with a lot of fears in life, many of which are very realistic.
Yeah.
You know, getting older, coping with disease, being abused. And, you know, used to be when you thought of a grandmother, you got images of a woman sitting on a porch in a rocking chair, knitting a sweater. But our guest today may be a mother and a grandmother, but trust me, there are no rocking chairs, knitting, or sweaters in this interview tonight. We have the amazing Wendy Cooper. She is, by her own description, a self-taught writer, director, and producer, and she has won 17 Telly Awards for her work in TV commercials. And she started all of this in 1997 on a wing and a prayer. She started out with a $10,000 loan, a borrowed car, and a dream. And she launched the first full-service end-to-end direct consumer agency. And then as a pioneer in infomercials, Wendy not only guided her clients from concept to consumer, but helped launch some of the most well-recognized consumer products for major branches around the world and major brands around the world. You know, and it's funny because Wendy rhymes with Fendi. And I know what that is because I've actually seen a few episodes of Sex and the City, but I digress. But Wendy is the host of several podcasts. She's a former HSN product expert, an ovarian cancer survivor, and you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so bringing awareness to cancer is always extremely important. She also escaped horrible domestic violence in her 20s, but she has emerged as an advocate for combating ageism, and she loves sharing the voices of others and hopes to create a better world for generations to come. So it is my honor and privilege to introduce and welcome to The Psychic and the Doc, my friend, Wendy Cooper. Welcome aboard, Wendy.
Yay. Yahoo, thank Wendy.
You. Thank you. Thank you. That was really nice. Thank you, Mark. Nice to meet you, Dr. Pat. I'm wonderful. Super thrilled to be here. Super thrilled. So, you know, I hope I can bring value to all of the listeners and get some questions of my own answered.
Oh. We're gonna get that done. You know, I want to ask you a question that came from a very awkward situation in my life. The show was never the Dr. Pat show that I did. It was called Crust Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life. I was a person that should have had it all, went back to school, had the credentials, and I was depressed beyond my years, beyond belief. And out of that, I dialed a wrong phone number. And that wrong phone number led me to buy my first hour of airtime in 2003, internet only. And everybody wanted to have me committed. They just thought, you've lost it now. But here's what I want to know from you, because this is the question that I've been asking people for 18 years. I love your story, and I know you didn't get here by the slide and glide of life. I'd love to know, look, what challenges, what obstacles, Wendy, did you have to overcome to bring you to this very moment today?
And to add to that, what are the challenges that I'm overcoming today?
Mark's going to help you with that.
the story is a crazy one. It's about five different books. But what led me to, if I told the real story, which sometimes I am told I should tell the real story and not be afraid to tell the real story. But when I was in my 20s, I made a decision when I was leaving Butterfly Beach in Santa Barbara. I was 26, maybe. I was a big Frisbee player, and I owned this one beach in front of the Biltmore. And I would play Frisbee until 6, 7 o'clock at night during the summer. And at one point, the changing point in my life was walking up to my little Chevette, all greasy and sandy, and in my crocheted bikini, and saying to myself, do I go home? Or do I go to Joyce's? Do I go home? I can remember sitting at the steering wheel going, go right or go left, right? Oh. And I went right, which was wrong, which maybe was right, but at the time I had no idea how freaking wrong that turn was. That led to meeting the father of my first son, Wyatt, who's now 40. That was the domestic abuse, the financial abuse, the horrific years that I spent running, captured by this person. Most people don't know this story, that, you know, swept me off my feet, and it was all smoke and mirrors, and I gave up everything. He had me literally sell my car so that we could collect the insurance, burn my car, burn it, so that we could get the insurance, because, you know, his partners hadn't come through on the deal in Geneva, Switzerland yet that was going to bring the millions of dollars through the wire transfer any day now. Well, that obviously never happened. He's dead now. He turned out to be wanted by the FBI. The name was not the real person who I had met and thought I married. I was a stepmother to a 12-year-old named Jimmy, who was not Jimmy at all. He was Brent. And then I had a child from this guy. Whoops. We actually became some of the largest landowners in Austin, Texas, prior to the real estate boom. I had to plan my escape because he was a drug addict. And he had to plan his escape because he became so successful under an alias, and such a huge landowner in Austin, Texas, under an alias. No one knows this story, that we had to plan our escape in the middle of the night. And wow. It's crazy. Change our names, go to the dead headstone, get the name of the next, you know, who we would be. I then had to plan an escape from that man who beat me every single day. Mm. And I did, in the middle of the New Orleans airport. So that part of my life is gone. I now have a child, and I'm off and running, and I get into entertainment. I come to Los Angeles. I have $5,000, and I start a new life as an entertainment. I become a secretary to a high power entertainment guy, Lloyd Zeiderman, who I think is now dead. Also, everybody's dead. I didn't kill him, but I learned so much along the way, right? One thing leads to another, and that was, you know, I knew everyone in Hollywood, but I was the assistant, the executive assistant, and blah, blah, blah. So my lifestyle was kind of interesting and weird. I had come from being very wealthy, married to a fake guy with fake this and that, but he had a lot of money, raised a lot of money. We had a lot of money. So my lifestyle and everything was messed up. But I had my kid. And then Oh my God, where was I? Okay, one thing leads to another, and I'm in it. This is how the entertainment thing happened for me and where I've gotten to. So it's an important part. I decide after years of working for Lloyd Zidarman, a few years, he fired me one day because there was a box of donuts on my desk, and he came back from New York. He's in a bad mood, and so he said, "You're out of here." So now I'm a young woman with now a 2.5-year-old. I sell everything. I join Club Med. I become a GO for Club Med, and I'm off to there, and I leave my son at 3 years old with my mother. I don't even tell him I'm leaving or going anywhere. My mother's encouraging me, saying, "Go, fly, spread your wings, sell everything. It's okay. You just came from an abusive relationship, blah, 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 blah. Go to summer camp, Wendy, and play in the circus," which I did. And I ended up meeting after about 5 months. I got very ill, but while I was gone in LA to get better, and I went back to the Bahamas to be back on the GO team, this French guy comes along, and he is an au pair. We fall in love. We don't speak each other's languages. I eventually just go to Paris with a one-way ticket. And I
Oh.
go to Paris, one-way ticket. I knew this man for 3 weeks, maybe that. And we did not speak the same language. I end up there. I end up in Paris. And I work for actually the guys, the BCCI scandal guys. I was a teletype operator for this big scandal that happened years later. I return. I meet Bob Cooper. I have Chance Cooper. He goes to jail for white collar crime. I am once again left with a kid, two kids now, and it's a nightmare. Right? So I'm always having to fend for myself. I eventually get a job working for Apollo Advisors. And then all of a sudden, my husband's out of jail. He wants something to do. One thing leads to another. And he does this diet product that just kind of fell in his lap. That became one of the largest infomercials. And I quit my job and I said, "You need help. You don't even know what a sales tax is." So I jumped in to do help them with that. That grew, and I always stayed in that industry. I didn't know Dr. Pat and Mark what I was learning. I left out my construction management gig part. I forgot about that. I learned how to produce commercials because I had taken construction management, because I worked for construction management in one of my things. And in the future, I just didn't know I had a creative bone in my body back then. It wasn't until I was 38 years old that, and 6 Day Bio Diet was the infomercial, and I became the talent. And then I did Slender Secret, another one, a selling diet in Brazil and the United States. I became big at HSN. And all of a sudden, people were just coming to me. "Wendy, you can do this. You can produce. You know the back end. You know how to make campaigns successful." And that built C Spot Run Productions, which I came to me in the middle of the night. C Spot Run, see the dog, the spot, the TV commercial, C for Wendy, C for or C for Cooper, C for Commer, C for this. And it was just this organic thing that happened off of that $10,000. Oh, by the way, I lost everything when it came to the infomercials. So I was homeless at that point, and I thought of that, and that's what happened with $10,000. And my skill and knowledge.
Wow.
And the grace of God, I think.
All of it. And I so relate to it. I mean, honestly, I'm so glad you brought the construction thing up because construction taught me everything I needed to know to own this particular company. If you do construction and facilities management for a large corporation and you do it down to that level, you either pick up a few things or they bury you like in the cement. One or
I
the
loved
other
that
happens.
job. I loved that
I
job.
did
I
too.
loved that
I
job.
did too.
I did
Wow,
it was
Wendy.
TI, tenant improvement, and I went in there as just a secretary, and I
Yeah.
loved that job. I
Yeah.
loved it. And I later realized that that skill set is what made me a great producer.
I totally get it. Go ahead, Mark.
So Wendy, it's interesting because when you were explaining that, it seems like for a lot of your life, you didn't have faith in yourself. But underneath that layer, you did. Because, people just don't jump into the deep end of the pool, not sure if they know how to swim, and then make that into a successful business. So, how did you reconcile the self-doubt with the I think I can?
Survival. You know, I lost everything. When 6 Day Bio Diet did $600 million, that all went into the black hats of the infomercial world, and that was a nightmare. And then I created Slender Secret, and that got me a little bit back on my feet, but I didn't know what I knew. I just was doing it because I am like that. I'm a high school graduate, other than the project management school I went to for construction management in my 30s, but I never had an algebra class. Yeah. I never had sociology or statistics or geometry. So I'm one of six kids. So I'm, to this day, I can run a mean metrics. I can't really explain it to you in the terms you need it explained to you in, but I can run the crap out of it, and I know what I'm talking about, but I really stumble in my confidence. Now, let me say that if I'm speaking in front of 300 people, I am so much more confident because I'm speaking about what I know. Right? But take me off the stage and put me in a networking event where I have to do that one-on-one weird thing.
Oh my God.
You know? No, I'm not going to do that. Oh, but no. I'll be one person up on a stage talking to 300 people.
I get so much blowback every time I go to a networking event because I'm sitting there and everybody, like, okay, like she's going to talk in the whole table. I say nothing. I am such an introvert that Myers-Briggs made me take that test 4 times. And, you know, and what's interesting, what I love about what you're saying is I talk about my two moms. My mom committed suicide, my birth mom. Mm-hmm. And I talk about my second mom. And people ask me, like, we don't get you. Like, suicide, homeless at 17, arrested at 19 for something you didn't do, clerk at the phone company. We don't get you. I said, you don't need to get me. You just need to be around my stepmom because you'll learn a lesson of perseverance that you can't read in any book. Can't read it. Yeah. You just, as a woman, first child, 12, second child, 13. You want to talk about what you can learn from somebody like you, Wendy. But you see, that's what it is now. See, this is why your message and who you are is so important today.
So can I, you know, you said that, I started doing LA Talk Radio, which is digital radio back then. I think it was 2013. Yeah. I think that's when I started. And I did it because I was feeling miserable. I was just hated because my first bout with ovarian cancer came in 2005. At the time, I was rolling in kind of in dough, right? I was at the height of really my career, and I just had a lot of, I didn't know that it was going to stop, but you know, it was there at the time, thank God. And so a few years later, I really hated my life. I used to introduce myself like, I hate my husband, and I hate my kids, I hate my carpet, I hate my house, I hate my hair, I just hate, my name is Wendy, like that. Seriously, I did. And until I went to a Kabbalah thing, and I realized that there was just something, you know, I could change.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't have to hate my life. So I worked on things, and it was really, eventually they wanted me to volunteer to do like a radio show for them, like produce it for them. And I thought, you know, everything's about volunteerism and you're going to share and you're going to get more light. And if I do this radio thing, okay, I'll produce it for you with the two guys and Brad Pomerantz. And I did it. And it took so much of my creativity and editing dialogue, which I'm really good at. But this was a real job to do this, right? But then I learned that you could actually have a radio show of your own. Yep. And my teacher said, well, maybe you should do that to get out of your comfort zone. And I guess I had an attitude. So I go, I don't want to do a radio show. I just don't want to do that. But 3 months later, I woke up in the morning because it came to me. And it was like, it's what you have to do. And I did it. And I never stopped. I've never stopped.
Right.
Maybe a year I stopped. But I love this whole sharing thing. And I don't make really money doing it.
Right.
But I can't stop doing it.
Right. Totally. Who in their right minds dials a wrong phone number in 2003 from New York, doesn't hang up. Like, I don't know. Do you all know anybody that like from New York that would dial a wrong phone number and not hang up? Doesn't
no.
hang up. is looking for a man by the name of Tracy. And the people answering the phone, no. This is a broadcast network. And I'm like, a what? And they said, you must mean Tacy. I'm like, no, Tracy. I got the number. I transposed numbers. I got the number and it says Tracy. That's an R. No. Let me get you to Tacy. I don't hang up. Within 10, and I remember Tacy asking me, hi, what do you do? Like real deep voice. And I said, I do crust busting. She said, what? I said, do crust busting. That's what I do. I help people bust through the crust.
Oh, the crust.
Like they're crusty.
Okay.
I said, I'm crusty. I was crusty. I couldn't get off the couch. That's what I'm doing. I help people crust bust their way to an awesome life.
Your coach.
She said, great. That would be a great show on our network. I said, you're right. What does that even mean? But I didn't even ask. She said, do you want to do it? I said, yeah. What do I need to do? Give me your credit card. Pull out a credit card. 2003, internet only. One of the first internet stations ever launched.
$75.
$7,500. Wait. Pull out the card, okay? Like I had the credit card. Pull out the card. I never looked back. I never even thought about internet, not internet. I never thought about it because something told me this was it. 3 months later, station in Seattle, which I'm still on now, AM/FM, heard about crust busting.
It's funny.
You're not going to believe it. 5 days a week, we're open. Pull out a credit card. The minute I got behind a mic is what you just described.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was people paying me? No. I didn't know anything about any of mm-hmm. this. It was like coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why you have to share your story.
Yeah.
Because everybody is going to get an opportunity in life to feel that.
You know, I have so many stories to share is my so let's fast forward to today. And, you know, the ageism thing, if we can talk just a little bit about that. So at one point I had stopped doing I was doing a show at UBN in Hollywood and at the studio where Mark came a few times. And
right. And
that was a lot of fun because I was right there in Hollywood. And sometimes after the show, you know, let's go have dinner. Let's go do this or whatever. And so that turned into kind of a night out as opposed to a show, right? Because it was like, okay, we have a purpose for being here. We're not sure what it is anymore, but we're here. And I had millennial co-hosts and things, and they were wearing on me a little bit. And so I said, let's take a sabbatical. And I had gotten this job at a visual effects house. Somebody gave me this job for a lot of money in 2018. But I hated the job. I sold my soul for money, drove to Burbank every day. And on my way to Burbank one day, I heard, embrace your age and share your wisdom.
Yeah.
Embrace your age. As I was going around the curve on the one on the five. And I went, okay, that's it. That's it. And then I heard remarkable people over 50. And I started to interview remarkable people over 50. Mm-hmm. And I started to learn that what I was feeling, I think I was 62 or 63 years old. I'm 66 now. What I was feeling was not this angst that was personal, but it's an angst that everyone starts to feel when they get to be a certain age. And I was starting to hear this from everyone, whether they were a celebrity, an author, a TV host, whoever I was interviewing, it was like the same thing. They had these same feelings. They were dealing with the same crap, which basically boils down to ageism, right? They were dealing with the fact that, oh, I was always a host on TV and now I can't get a gig. Oh, I was always a rock star. No, I can't get, you know, heard or seen, you know, age was becoming, and then creative directors and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, look at this, especially in the creative space, age becomes such a thing that the millennials and that are running the world, there's this big separation happening. And this thing called ageism is coming in that is creating a really bad vibe when we need to come together on this because we're only going to live longer. And we need to have a good vibration between all of us. And it's just tearing people apart. And people of over 50, 60, they're young. They're living longer. They're, I mean, 60 is a new 40 for a freaking reason. You know what I'm saying? Not because we made that up. It's because we are chronologically or physically 40 years old.
Well, right? You know, it's from what I have seen, what I experience, it's difficult getting older and in the workplace.
Right.
And it's ridiculous because people have years of experience. And, you know, Wendy, you're in L.A., the Hollywood, you know, Beverly Hills, you know, Burbank area. And I think it's difficult everywhere for women, but it seems like in L.A., it's magnified, you know, because it's L.A. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just magnified actually everywhere. It's crazy in the United States, but I think more in metropolitan areas. Yes, you're right. There's a lot more ageism that's happening because there's more professional women, mm-hmm. and those professional women get older, and those professional mm-hmm. women are expected, or everybody's expected, to retire at 65. Why would you retire at 65? If you're living 20 years longer, why wouldn't you retire at 85?
You know? Speaking of LA, when I was in LA, I think it's the Laugh Factory, mm-hmm. you know, and there was a comedian, and he said the only thing that people in their 20s are really good at is looking better than people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. So shut up.
Well, you know, I want to chime in here for a minute because I got to tell you how blessed I am. We have a population of people that work here, and they, and I want to just say this because this is how blessed I am. They ages like 21-ish or something mm-hmm. to 72-ish. Now, I got to say something. Once upon a time, I had a view of millennials. And then I met Jessica. And Jessica started 10 years ago. And her soul is so by far amazingly wise. And I'm not saying this is everybody. She started as an intern here and she has built this company. When I go off to my own next year, when I go off to my own private brand and I'm back out there again, she will run this company. Why? I'm blessed with somebody like her. But I'll tell you something that I learned. Ageism, it hits you when you're older and it hits you when you're younger. I would take her to events with me, Wendy.
I agree.
And she'd be right next to me. She'd be running remote shows with Heather. And she would be helping orchestrate the mm-hmm. stage. And people took one look at Jessica and I would put her on a phone to talk to a client or something. And they look at Jessica like, who are you? And
I had a Jessica. Exactly. And she was a Jessica.
Exactly. And I remember getting hit with that. And you know how that hurts our heart when we get hit with ageism? Mm-hmm. But it hit me so hard. And I just looked at the person and I said, and I can't tell you who the man is, but he was a longtime host with us. And I said, she's our expert. Everything that you're going to do right today, you're going to look at her and thank her later. I'm going to make sure you do. You're going to walk up to that stage. The microphone's going to be working perfectly. You're going to be able to move around. She's going to make sure she records it properly. And then you're going to come off stage. You're going to thank her. And then later on, when it's all edited and your video footage, which really isn't looking very good because your colors don't really work today, you're going to come back and thank us because Jessica's going to take that reel and she's going to edit it. She's going to make you look so good. Every part of what you didn't do right today is going to look perfect.
It sounds just like my Jessica. That is so
That's
weird.
That's who Jessica is.
Yeah.
Yesterday, before we break, I want to end with this. Yesterday, we had a situation. Jessica stood up in front of two members. And I heard her talk about me in a way I've never heard in my life. Talk about respect in this organization. And we don't like the same music. She's from Montana. But I'll tell you something. You talking about ageism, it is hitting people at all ages.
At all ages.
I want to know.
And I agree with you.
It's crushing people. Right now, you would probably have more clients that are in their 20s than you can imagine because they don't know what to do. But when we come back.
Yes, please.
This thing about getting old, this thing, like I've had more talks with my friend D. Wallace about this thing, this age thing. This ain't no joke, people. This is for real. This is the thing that's going on. And if you're an organization that is in the place where you're looking at Wendy or you're looking at me, and I don't know if you're looking at Mark yet, but if you're looking at us and you're going to hire somebody and you're thinking, I wonder how old they are. You're asking the wrong question. When we come back, you should be asking, how knowledgeable are they? How experienced? How much potential do they have? You know, how much of Wendy Cooper is inside of them? When we come back, how do you battle this? How do you battle it? And then how do you become a battler and a warrior like Wendy Cooper? We'll be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. Ever wonder why you want to go to the gym more, for example, but you just can't make it happen? You find yourself rearranging your underwear drawer instead of getting in the car. If this sounds like you, you might have caught a case of the shoulds. Maybe you think you should lose 20 pounds to fit back into your favorite pair of jeans, or that you should be healthier in general. It all sounds good, but deep down you just aren't into it. Truth is, making choices from shoulds just leads to guilt, resentment, and a whole lot of procrastination. So take a good look at your goals. Are you shoulding yourself anywhere? If so, give yourself permission to let it go. For more insights like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to support you.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Anthony, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Pat, and you're listening to The Psychic and the Doc. And we have an amazing guest today, Wendy Cooper, who, if we just went through her credentials, we'd spend the rest of the show telling you what they are. But Wendy's here to talk to us about overcoming all sorts of adversity and about the changing face of ageism. You know, and when I was hearing both of you talk about the ageism, and Dr. Pat, you brought up a really interesting point that it affects everybody at every age. I remember, you know, I was the youngest person in my class in law school, and then I found myself in court trying cases when I was 24 years old. And I remember people telling me, are you old enough to do this? You know, because I looked like I was 15 years old at the time. And I remember getting marginalized a lot because I didn't look old enough. That was, of course, until the trial started. And then things began to change. But I also gleaned from the first half of the show that where do we excel? When do we excel? And it's always when we're, like you said, Wendy, you got to get out of your comfort zone. It's always an adversity. You know, Dr. Pat, you know, you were sharing how, you know, how difficult your childhood and early adulthood was. And Wendy, you know, certainly everything that you've been through. And the thing is, if everything were soft and fuzzy and a piece of cake, why would we ever try to grow, expand, and learn? We grow in response to adversity.
Wow. Well, but yeah, I want Wendy to address that too, because Wendy, before we get rolling here, because we do get rolling, I would love people to know right now, one, how do they find out more about you? Because this is an important conversation for people to really tap into. People are feeling stuff. And, you know, I love that we're talking about ageism, and we're probably going to focus on ageism of the older population, because right now they're feeling so not valued. They're feeling a little helpless and hopeless. A lot of folks are feeling technology has left them behind and they can't even figure out how to get their damn vaccine if they wanted one, because it's all online.
You're talking about much older people, because if somebody was 65 years old, they obviously know how to use their iPhone. You know, so you have to like put it, I always tell people, yeah, I kind of have to put a cap on things, like, because my dad's 93 and he can't live without his iPad, right?
Yeah, so, I'm glad you said that. Linda, you listening? You're supposed to know how to use your phone. Linda, you listening? but Wendy, how do we?
Oops.
Linda, Wendy, talking to you. How do we find out about you? Tell us.
Okay, so there's quite a few ways. My direct-to-consumer or my agency website is, it's actually all in one place, all right? But I don't talk a lot about myself online in my website, because it's more of a come hire me, come see what I do, da-da-da-da. So you can go to wendycooper.com, Wendy with an I. That will take you to, or you can go to the letter C, spotrun.com. That takes you right to the page where my commercials are and things like that. From there, you can see my other two podcasts, which is one is The Wendy Cooper Show, Conversation Story Views. I just did one with Mark. The Story Views, which is conversations with remarkable people over 50, but I turn them into fun, beautiful little story views. It's not just an interview. I also have the Daily Five, or the Five, which I don't do daily anymore. But this is where everyone, it's such a great thing to do, is to just sit down in front of a microphone and be you, just be you. So I committed myself during the pandemic that I would do that. And I ended up creating these fun little vignettes and very different things. Sometimes they're rants and some, but that's called the Five with Wendy Cooper, everywhere you get your podcasts. Okay. And then I'm on Fireside. So I'm a creator on Fireside, which is a new platform from Mark Cuban, which is podcasting with a live audience. But I also take that podcast and I distribute it elsewhere. This is where I am taking my intelligence, my skills, and I'm saying, okay, if nobody wants to listen to me, nobody wants to hire me, because I'm really bad at knocking on doors, you know, after being successful and then saying, okay, now where'd everybody go? Right? I'm not used to making a cold call. I don't know how to make a cold call. And so I have podcasts. So my podcast, Where's the Beef? Tech versus Creative, on Fireside, and also everywhere you get your podcasts. I interview people in the tech, advertising, marketing, space, and we kind of talk about the cultural, you know, from a creative point of view, and then the people from Samsung and smart devices and things like this. So where, and this is where I get to talk about my, I get to talk as a host of my expertise, my creative expertise, and what I have. People will hear that. It's a slow churn, but I'm marketing. This is my marketing tool. My podcasts have always been a place where I bring other people's voices to the world, and I tell them, this is the best marketing tool you could ever have, is just by being on the podcast, you know, and then repurpose it. So I see the, I always see such a big picture of things, and I was able also to offer clients from concept to consumer, everything from your concept, because I work with a lot of inventors, did a lot of programs, fostered that. Shark Tank really came from the things that I created. And I did that because I lost everything at one point in my life. So my passion was
Wendy. So where is this website? What's the website?
Oh, WendyCooper.com.
There we go. WendyCooper.com.
Yeah, no, she gave it out. But, you know, when you go to WendyCooper.com.
I want to make sure everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I'm familiar with your website. I just want everyone else to, because you're so multifaceted.
Right.
There's so many different avenues there because you offer so many different things.
That's
and
the
here's
problem.
What I'll say about your take on ageism and Dr. Pat's take on ageism is you're going to keep going until you don't. You know what I mean? And it's funny because in the work that I do, particularly with the International Association of Near-Death Studies, a lot of the founders of IANS are now in their mid to late 80s, mm-hmm. and they're still writing books, they're still lecturing, mm-hmm. they're still going. And I ask them, I go, so when are you going to stop? They go, when I do, you know, and it's like, what an inspiration, you know, and it's funny because you know, they look at me as the kid, and it feels good because I'm the kid again. You know, I was the youngest person graduated law school, the youngest person in the prosecutor's office, the youngest attorney in all the law firms that I started and founded. And, you know, ageism is a constant and ongoing and shifting and changing thing. And I think that, Wendy, what you do by bringing it to the forefront is helping a lot of people, whether they're 20 or 80, feel better about themselves.
Yeah, you have to eradicate it, right? You have to just say, look, society has to basically say, okay, we all need to work together, learn from each other. We always have. We need to respect the elderly. We need to market to people like us, like we're cool and relevant, not like we're going to the bingo freaking parlor, right? I mean, seriously, are we going to the bingo parlor? No, we're not. We're not.
Well,
but this is the stuff that happens out there, right? And thank you for saying that, Mark. Yes, I offer so many different things in my that is so difficult to say where to go. So, you know, if you listen to my podcast on Fireside or wherever, you're going to see one side of me. If you listen to this podcast, you're going to see a different side of me, and so forth and so on.
Well, that was, I remember when I walked into the UBN studio, the first time I was on your show, and there were so many plaques and signs and things about what you did. I'm looking there going, is there anything that Wendy hasn't done?
No,
you know, and I think that's well,
but it's so true. Thank you. It's so true. And if I may ask you guys, if we can do this, is my question for you guys, right? Is I'm stuck. I really am stuck. It appears to everyone that I've got it all going on, right?
Yeah, I know what that feels like.
For so many years, yes, mm-hmm. got it all going on. Right. But I'm shifting. I'm still fighting the cancer thing now that I'm mm-hmm. getting older. Mm-hmm. I'm getting older. I look different. And so what is it that I really do want to do in my life? Mm-hmm. This is the question that everybody, when they reach a certain age, they start to wake up going, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And it plagues you, right? It really plagues you. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right direction? I need to make money like everybody needs to make money. Am I putting too much faith in something that isn't going to come back to me? How do I do this? How do I focus? How do
All
I
right.
get in that tunnel?
Well, let's see if you want to go to Mark first.
Yes.
Let's get Mark rolling. So I want to, you know, I studied broken promises for 10 years, so I don't want to break a promise here and not connect you with Mark.
Wendy, I know that, you know, before we started the show, you said that, you know, there's someone that you wanted to connect to. And you know, certainly I've been on your show and I've done readings, and sometimes the person that you want to connect with may not be the first one in.
I know.
But I'm getting a male energy connected to you coming through, and I'm getting this burning sensation in my stomach and this nausea and vomiting. And what that indicates to me is that this gentleman was having difficulty eating and or holding down food prior to passing, yet nausea is also a cancer indicator. It doesn't always mean cancer, but it feels like with him it was, because I'm getting these these pains in my bones, my wrists, all my connective tissue. Mm-hmm. I feel a draining sensation throughout the body, and a draining sensation is consistent with a disease like cancer, which takes you down a click at a time. And I'm getting all these pressure points in my head, and that does not feel good. It feels like tumors. So whatever type of cancer he had, it metastasized. And the problem is it was affecting his mental clarity and state of mind prior to passing, because I could see that there were some either, I don't want to call them violent outbursts, but they could be, or erratic outbursts, and even some real angry statements that he is clarifying that he didn't mean. He was out of control. Does any of this make sense to you?
Part of it, but not the other part.
What part does?
The male.
Well, yeah, but what about the cancer, the draining sensation?
No. Could that have been more of an emphysema thing? You think? The draining thing, you know, the mucusy thing that you get when you have emphysema that you have to clear?
No, this feels like a male who died from cancer. Okay,
so I don't know how this person died that I wanted, that I really wanted to see if he would come.
Okay.
So he could have died of cancer, Mark, seriously, I don't know.
Okay, were the two of you emotionally involved?
No.
And the reason I'm saying this is because he keeps handing you a ring.
Oh, well, that... You know, I got a lot of people over there. I got to tell you, that could be one of a few.
Well, I know you indicated that the first husband died. What did he die from?
He died from throat cancer, but I never saw him after.
There we go.
That's Jesus, exactly it's him coming and wanting to tell me he's sorry.
Hold on, I'm not a bouncer. Sorry, so I can't say sorry. Sorry, back to heaven.
I know you can't. All right, I'll listen to him. Come on.
A male who died of cancer chomping at the bit, and he's handing you a
yes,
ring.
It's him. It's
okay.
Him.
Okay.
All right.
He said, telling you that I'm sorry would be too cliche because you know that. He says, but let me tell you something. I really was up. All right. I'm not going to say it. Okay. And he also was explaining that he was extremely abusive. He said that you were the perfect victim for me because I was a sociopath and you were the arm candy that I needed. You were the icing on the cake to help me open those doors so that I could exploit other people. And now that I'm here and in a perspective to be able to see things very clear, I'm ashamed. So he does want you to know that, and he is sorry about that, okay? But he does want to, this is fascinating because he is explaining to me that he was a sociopath. And the thing is, you were so trusting at that point that you fit completely into his schemes. Now, the guy with the emphysema, I'm getting another guy coming in. Now my lungs are burning. So husband number one is taking
he's
a step
sorry.
To the side.
Thank he, you. Tell him
sorry.
Thanks.
And he's admitting that he was a sociopath.
That's
and
right.
He's not. He doesn't want you to blame yourself for falling prey to his schemes.
Never.
Okay. Now we got the gentleman who passed me the emphysema because I feel like there's steel mm-hmm. wool on my lungs. All right. That's definitely an emphysema. Ow. And my head is hurting really badly. So I'm getting a lot of pounding sensations there, which could also indicate he may have been having surges of high blood pressure or may have died from either an aneurysm or a stroke towards the very end. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you would say yes or no,
yes,
please.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Hold on. He said, we never got the chance to complete the project. We never got the chance to complete the project. This keeps getting repeated. We never got the chance to complete the project. And he said, I was 007 and you were the Bond woman. I was 007 and you were the Bond woman.
I know what he's talking about.
Okay, good. Because, you know, to me, it doesn't look like a sexist comment. It's like he was the James Bond and you were that cool, you know, accomplice.
We never knew each other. We never knew each other, but I know what he's talking about.
Yeah. But are you still working on this project?
This is the answer. This is what my question.
Okay. He said,
should I be?
Go gangbusters. Go gangbusters. I'm going to take that as a yes. You should be.
Yes.
Okay.
Is he there with the other guys?
Yes. Is there four of them?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's four guys. Is there some type of bush like outside, like where you live, that has lots of thorns on it? It's like an ilex. Okay. It's
I have a bougainvillea that has these gigantic thorns on it.
Okay. Is it more of a reddish bougainvillea?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Ilex looks like holly, so I'm getting that red. Okay. That's the verifiable fact following a message. When spirits give me a message, you understand that. Okay.
I get it.
Interesting. Interesting. The reason he's bringing up this thorny flowering bush, he said, think of this like the project. When you go to approach it, you see the alluring flowers, but then you want to back away because of the thorns. He said, but I know you, Wendy, you'll be able to negotiate your way around the thorns to get the flower.
So what I feel in my gut is he says, go. And the other guys say, go too. The other guys are there saying, do it. Right? If you only knew who those other guys were, you would die. You would literally freak out. I know who they are. I'll tell you after. But awesome. Because that's like, that has to do with something that I want to pursue and do. And it would really take a lot of dedication to do that. And I feel in my heart, it's what I want to do for the rest of my life is work on this project, right? Because it's so important to so many different.
Is there anything connected with you, a project you're working on now or this that has to do with biotech? Because he's talking about biotech. Now, this may not be the project you're working on, but what I like about this is he said that he's telling me that you're going to have all the time you need to complete this. And he's also telling me that obviously, I know that you're very health conscious, but he said that your diet will be key to your
staying alive
success.
That's one of the other questions, but
I like it when they answer the question before you ask it. I always get the biggest kick out of that when spirits do that, but they know that that's and here's the thing. And Dr. Pat and I are very careful about that on this show, about diagnosing and prescribing. Yep. So run this through your healthcare provider. Disclaimer, disclaimer. It seems that beans, B-E-A-N-S, beans are going to be an essential part of your diet. I'm getting lentils and I'm getting these white beans like garbanzo beans and like Great
Cannellini.
Northern beans, cannellini. Exactly. And what is those? The white bean. Navy beans.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I know beans are good and all that. But
my husband has tons of beans in the cupboard.
Oh.
All those beans. Yeah.
Verifiable fact, following a message.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Wendy, you know, be true to yourself, be true to your health, stick to your guns. And they say, go gangbusters. And the number five. Okay. That keeps getting repeated to the number five. Now that could be the fifth month, which is May. That could be the fifth of any month, but number five. And those four of them could be 20 as well. So there's the number five and the number 20 may be of significance. Go right ahead.
Cotton.
I don't understand what way.
I get it.
Cotton there's 20. There's 20 of them.
There's 20. There's thorny.
Right. There's 20 of them that are cotton. He's telling me it's true. There's 20 that are cotton, I believe.
Okay. So you understand
like
how
that.
Cotton is picked. Well, my stepmom's from the
cotton?
Deep South. If you ever know anybody that picks cotton in them cotton fields, take a look at
thorns?
Their hands.
Okay. That's the message.
Mark.
That's true. That's key.
There you go, Dr. Pat. See, that's why I love working with Dr. Pat.
Wow.
See, because I don't always understand everything that comes through because I'm just the conduit. And what I like about, and this is the strength of this show, is Dr. Pat is an objective professional observer, and she's really great at putting these metaphors together. Go ahead, Dr. Pat. It's your own.
And that's really what I was going to say. And I know we only have a few minutes left. So I want to say two things for everybody listening. Please, please connect with Wendy. And if you go to Wendy Cooper, and it is WendiCooper.com, you're going to go over there. There's a lot of things, but I really highly encourage you to listen to her show. Thank you. One of the things I love about being, you know, in the business I'm in is that we like to share things. Please listen to the podcast. Please connect with Wendy. And so what I want to say is, as you were talking about this, is that there are two metaphors with cotton. And when you said cotton, I thought about cotton. And there are two things to think about. You got a message. Something you're going to do has to do with cotton. Cotton picking is one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. But there's something else to be mindful of with the metaphor of thorns. And I just want to leave you with this. You and I probably could be sisters to another mother or brother in some of their life. And for most of my life, I thought I could do everything alone. This is not an alone journey. Don't know a lot about the project, but I'll leave you with this.
It's not an alone
Find your
journey.
Allies. Mm-hmm. Find your allies. Mm-hmm. Find the people around you mm-hmm. that want to be around you because they love you. And maybe they'll make some money along the way, but they love you and they will go to any length to see this through.
Okay.
Don't do the heavy lifting.
No, I wouldn't be. Yeah, this would be a project where I would be, yeah, not doing that.
I love it. Now you got to come back and tell us, like, when you get it all lined up, you got to make an announcement here.
Well, it will be the movie of the century. And it will change the world. It will change the art world forever.
My gosh, somehow I knew that. Mm-hmm. Wendy, thank you so much for today.
You're welcome.
I can't.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you for taking on a topic of ageism that people are just not willing to take out vocally and not loud enoughly.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep. Wendy, last question. I know we got a minute. I'd love to know your personal message. I would love to know what you want to leave us with today.
I think that everybody just needs to wake up and celebrate every day because that's all we have, period. That's all I have to say.
Perfect.
We got nothing else.
Yeah. And I want to say just play ping pong. That's what I do.
There you go.
I love playing ping pong. Wendy Cooper, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. Mark Anthony. Wait for it. Wait for it. Ta-da!
I'm listening to that right now.
Aren't you glad he did it in his voice, though, Wendy?
Yes.
Aren't you glad he did the book in it?
Yes. Yeah. I like your little impersonations of people, too.
All right. We got to roll, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Pat. Tune in. Transformation Talk Radio. Mark Anthony. Of course, afterlifefrequency.com. And all of you, Jessica, all of you rock. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning in to The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests and, you know what, even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems, yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.